are considering tonight the life and ministry of the man who started the AME, the African Methodist Episcopal denomination. Richard Allen was born a slave in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on Valentine's Day, 1760. And that was probably a time in America that there was no celebration of Valentine's Day. About 1776, Richard Allen's mother was sold with three of her other children to another plantation owner and taken into Delaware. And Richard and two of his siblings were left with the old master. He said that his old master was a kind man. The slaves were allowed to hear the preaching of the gospel. And while still in their youth, Richard and his siblings came to know Christ as Savior and Lord. That was in 1777. And the change in those three young slaves was so obvious to their master that he wanted them to hear the gospel that they had heard. And he came to know the Lord himself. So that was the first fruit of their conversion to the Lord. So that master then became a Methodist. They heard the preaching of the Methodist, which at that time in America, the Methodist denomination was the largest in our country, or soon to be the largest. And so he decided that he would let those three slaves that he had earn their freedom. And it took many years of double labor for Richard to obtain his freedom. He thought at times that he would literally die from the hard work, because he was not only doing his regular work, he was doing extra work in order to pay for his liberation. And he was also afraid that his master would die before he had finished the work that would buy his freedom. And that often happened for many slaves. Their masters died before they could be freed. Now, during the years of those intense labors, not only was he doing double work, but God called him to minister the gospel. Oh, what a time of difficulty. And yet in the midst of that double burden that he was carrying, God gave him the burden of preaching the gospel. He was already witnessing to the slaves around him. Well, he took the opportunity to preach every time that opportunity came. And finally, he gained his freedom. He was saved among the Methodists, so Richard preached among the Methodists. The white Methodist preachers at that time had horses, and they were known as circuit riders. Well, Richard, being a very poor man, received little money for his preaching, and he called himself a circuit walker instead of a circuit rider. That was his title for himself. And from 1780 until 1786, Richard walked and preached in many parts of the state of Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, the state of New York, Maryland, Delaware, Virginia, and both of the Carolinas. He walked it. And he preached oftentimes to many of the Indian villages that were still present in the eastern part of the country at that time. Now, the great Methodist bishop, you've probably heard of him, Francis Asbury. Francis Asbury was very impressed with Richard, and he invited him to travel with him and to preach to all the Negroes wherever Asbury was preaching, you know, to the large gathering of the whites. He said, you can go, and there are large crowds of blacks that would be very happy to have you preach. Well, Richard, by 1786, believed that Philadelphia was going to be the center of his labors, the place where the Lord wanted him to work. So Richard began giving himself wholeheartedly to reaching the slaves and the free blacks in the city of Philadelphia and the areas all around. And he built a flourishing work among the Negroes of Philadelphia. Now, the main big Methodist church in Philadelphia in those days was called St. George Methodist Church. And they invited Richard to bring all of his converts and those that were gathered to him. They could worship with them in the morning service. So Richard kept on gathering so many African Americans into that congregation that they had to enlarge their building. And once they got their building to a very large capacity, they said, now all of y'all will have to sit. I don't know if they said y'all up in Philadelphia, but anyway, they said, you're going to have to sit in the balcony. All of you Negroes have to sit in the balcony. Well, the situation of putting them, restricting them to the balconies was not enough. They had several balconies, and they did not want Richard's congregation to fill up the whole balcony. They just wanted them in certain parts of the balcony. So one night during prayer meeting, several of the men were kneeling at their seats as the prayer meeting was going on, and some of the ushers came and said, now, we want you to move over here because you're in the wrong part of the balcony. Well, they said, well, we will as soon as prayer time's over. But he said, no, you're going to have to move now or I'm going to get some men to help me move you. Well, that wasn't very nice. And so, Richard and his congregation left St. George that night, never to return. And they decided they would build their own house of worship. And so they got a barn-like structure, kind of like we got here. And they started meeting in what they called the Bethel Methodist Church. And some of the people were offended that they had left St. George, and then others were glad. Well, Bishop Francis Asbury ordained Richard as the minister, the pastor of that congregation on June the 29th, 1794. Well, the white Methodists in Philadelphia were not happy with that situation, and they worked many times deceptively to try to control all that that congregation was endeavoring to do in reaching out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, finally, they were still a part of the same Methodist denomination. And at that time, many in the government in Washington were trying to get the blacks to move over to Liberia in Africa. They said, y'all need to all go back over there. Well, Richard was very outspoken. He said, look, God has brought us here in His providence. Our people love to be here and hear the gospel as it's freely preached in this land. And we don't really want to go anywhere else. But even the forces in the north were trying to get them to go back to Africa and colonize Liberia. Well, the the white Methodists kept on causing him trouble so much that on April 9th, 1816, the Bethel Methodist Church, another congregation of African Americans in Baltimore, and three other congregations joined together to form the African Methodist Episcopal Church. And in the year 2007, there were 2.5 million members of the African Methodist Episcopal Church. And Richard Allen was a true Christian. There was nobody in all the sources you can go to. I have never seen anywhere on all of the websites or in all the books about Richard Allen. There have only been great commendations of that humble former slave who loved the Lord and did not want to get involved in politics. He simply wanted to be a blessing in spreading the gospel among his people. And so those folks that suffered that awful tragedy, those atrocities, they had a great heritage, have a great heritage in what went on in the 19th century and even the late 18th century with this godly man, Richard Allen.